morning, I was reflecting on, over the past day or so, I was reminded of the things that I've been thinking about in regards to Yom Kippur, that time for the Jewish people where they reflect, they refocus themselves and as to what their calling from God is. So I'd like for us to take a look at the subject of reflecting and refocusing. You know, at this time of year in the Jewish holidays, it's time for a fresh start. It's their new year. Just like we have ours in January, we have the new year where we meditate and reflect about all the neat things that happened last year, as well as all the difficult things and challenges that we had, and all the things that we had the year before made that commitment to do something different, to improve something, all of those New Year's resolutions that we aren't quite able to be quite as successful as we wished. So for the Jewish people, they're doing the same thing. They're taking a look at that moment in time where they are given 10 days to reflect and to refocus their efforts, to make New Year's resolutions, so to speak. It's also a time when they make amends. Anyone that, during these 10 days, they go back and think through the whole year and think about, did I offend someone? Did I hurt someone? Did I mistreat someone? Did I do something that was unethical to someone? And during that time, they have this requirement that if they can remember one of these items, they must go to that person and confess their sin and make restitution to make it right. They need to make amends. So the Jewish people do this every year. It isn't really a tradition that they have in the church to do it as once a year, but rather Jesus instructs us to, if we think of something when we're at the altar and we bring our gifts, such as our offerings or the tithes that we bring in, if we bring a gift to the altar and there remember that we have something that we have done to offend or hurt someone, then we must leave our gift at the altar, not submit it, and go and find that person, make it right, make amends, and then return to God's house to give our offering to God. It's a part of reflecting and refocusing where we should be. So this is a time for us to reflect. And this is, in the next slide, we're going to talk about what it is to have a fresh start. This is a time for us to rest and reflect, to regroup and redirect, to refocus and reprioritize. The Jewish people take this moment to take time. They separate themselves for these 10 days in order to think about these things and put into place a time not only to rest because it's a holiday for the new year, and it's also the holiday for the Yom Kippur. It's holidays for several days for the Feast of Tabernacles. So they use this time as a time to, the harvest has been brought in. They've done all the work through the hardness of the summer. And now it's time for them to take a rest, to celebrate. But it's also time for them to reflect. It's also a time that they use to regroup themselves, to understand, okay, what went well and what didn't go well this past year, and then to redirect or refocus the efforts for the next year. And also a time to reprioritize those things that they consider as most important. Now, one of the things that's very important to the Jewish people, and it should be for us also, is what are God's priorities? Because sometimes when we start out the year with our new resolution, we're going to do those things that God has called us to do, and we're going to focus our efforts in that regard. And then we kind of drift away and we get off onto doing things our own way or how we think things should be, and we kind of lose sight or lose focus on time where we think about, okay, this happened in the past, that happened in the past, this was really good, this was not really good. And you know, that thing of reflecting is good, that you can look at it and see those things. And it's not just meditating on, well, that was really good, or that was not so well done, and I could have done this better, I could have done that better. It's more than just meditating on what those things are. Next slide. It's actually taking a deep look at yourself, not just the surface, but actually taking a very deep look into yourselves. Now, one of the things that Pastor Rebecca has done over the past month was to talk to us about the onion. Next slide. Just to give you a really quick reminder, those things that are, the things that externally people see are our behaviors. The next layer inside of that are our attitudes. And then the thing that is even further down is our values, our beliefs, and then our values. The values are those things that's at our core. Now, when you take a look at this onion, it gives us that ability to see just exactly how do I line up? What have I been like in this past year? Have my behaviors reflected the things that I do? My attitudes, does it really show how I respond to things? And the beliefs that I really hold to be precious and dear, and the values of who I am that are at my core. When I take a look at these things and in this process, we may find, like in the next slide, that we have things a little bit out of balance. That instead of our values being at the core, we really think that who I am is what I do. And that the things that I do, my behaviors, are really what I consider to be my worth or my value. And therefore, it's who I am. And this causes a confusion that we have that needs to be reprioritized and put back into focus the way it should be. Next slide. Have you ever thought of yourself as being this really great person, like this kitty cat looking into a mirror and seeing a lion? You see, that kitty cat thinks he's something really great and powerful, but in reality, that's not true. Who he thinks he is not who he really is. And this is that thing of getting things out of focus and taking the time to reflect, to really understand who we are. Certainly we should aspire to be something good. We should aspire to be something great. We should be aspiring to be something positive and you know, affecting the world around us. But is that what we are really doing? Is it something that we are taking that moment and looking at ourselves and saying, you know what? I didn't really reflect the things of who I am. In fact, I didn't even know who I was sometimes this year. And so taking that moment to reflect and to turn inward to see what is in here, what is that, those different layers, and taking and meditating on each layer and identifying how do I really, really line up? What is the real truth about my behaviors? What is the real truth about my attitudes or how I respond? And what are my real beliefs so that I can discover who I really am? Next slide. So the things that I do are the things that are my behaviors. How I respond are my attitudes. And what I believe is my belief system. And who I am is the value that I am and what I place on. So let's take a look at reflecting and refocusing. Next slide. What are we reflecting? Are we being, and it's in the next slide, are we being real? Are we being honest? Do we really want to know the truth? just a thing of taking a look at ourselves, just what is inside. But let me take a look at all the little pieces, the good as well as the not so good, as well as the plain out flat ugly, that's me. We don't want to talk about the other. We really don't want to even want to talk about the not so good. We really only want to focus on those things that we consider are the good parts of us. But you know, to have a really balanced view of ourselves means that we need to be real. In other words, to have integrity with our own hearts. You know, it's one thing to have integrity with people that are around us. And that integrity means that I do the right things even when no one's around. But do we have integrity with our own heart and our own mind? Are we having integrity with our talks with God? Does he really get to hear from us about all the stuff that's inside? Because whether we like it or not, he already knows. We might not want to talk about it. We might not even want to look at it. But God already sees it and knows it. If I am real, if I am genuine, am I going to be genuine with myself? Am I really going to look at the things and honestly say, this is where I come up short? This is the mess that I am, or the brokenness that I have inside of me. And then realize, I can't fix that. To be really honest with myself, to be real and have integrity with my own mind, my own heart, my own emotions, is to say, I can't fix me. I need help. Jesus is the one who can help me with these things. But if I always want to talk about only the good things or the things I want or the things I need, and I never really get down to the nitty-gritty with the Lord when I'm talking with him in prayer, then how will I ever be able to listen to what God has to say about those things that need to change? In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. Now, this scripture is really important because we don't have a covering over our face. We cannot block anything from God's sight, is what it says. And we are going to reflect his glory. So that means that if I've got a dirty face, it's not going to reflect very well. If I've got a clean face, it reflects better. Kind of like a mirror. If you have a mirror that you've wiped it with something of a dirty cloth that has like toothpaste on it, what is your mirror going to look like? You're not going to be able to see very much, are you? But if you take a cloth that's clean, that has maybe some vinegar or some ammonia or something, and you wipe the mirror, doesn't it become sparkling clean and clear? And you can really see what the true reflection is? Well, God knows that we have dirty faces, dirty hearts, dirty minds, dirty emotions. You know, we're just a mess. It's not how he created us, but it's how sin has entered into the world and things need to change in us that God knows needs to change in us. And because God knows that this is our condition, he gives us that moment to come clean or come honestly before him and say, God, I'm a mess. I've got this wrong, I've got this wrong, and I've got this wrong. Please tell me what else is wrong. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and see if there be any wickedness inside of me. If there's anything that if I'm shortcoming of, please show me. I want to know everything that is in need of your help. And then God says, I will clean you with something that will make you white as snow. It's called the blood of Jesus. these messes that you've made, the things that you have not focused on, that you have seen and have worked in you, of who you are, what you are, how you respond, and the behaviors you do. I see all of those things, and I am willing to give you the grace and the love, because I love you so much, to give you the grace and mercy to clean you up with something that only I can do. That's grace. And the only thing that this can come from is from God. When we are being transformed into His likeness, the scripture also said it needs to be ever increasing. We can't just take, okay, I've got this one little thing that I can see, God, you need to fix, I need to fix this. Or, okay, you're right, you need to fix it because I'm not able to fix it because I fail every time I try and change this behavior in my life. Every time I try to change this attitude that I have, I fail at it. Every time I try and make my beliefs line up to you, I just don't quite make it. And therefore, I don't think I have any worth or value because I'm not what I'm supposed to be, because I think I'm something else. But taking this one little thing and say, God, I've identified this thing, please fix this. But we've got the other five things over here that we just don't want to talk about. We don't want to think about. We don't even want to acknowledge their existence. And God says, well, I'll take care of this because you've come honestly before me, and I will give you grace for these things, but we need to deal with these five over here. And you go, oh, what are you talking about? That's not so bad. That's not so bad. And that thing isn't even, it's not even on the cover. God wants us to be honest with Him so that His grace can pour out in an even greater measure. But if we stay here with saying it's only this piece, then that's the only grace we're going to be able to access because of our dishonesty with Him and ourselves. But Jesus wants us to be transformed into His likeness, like in this next picture. Can you imagine looking into the mirror and seeing Jesus instead of you? I heard a quote recently that said, for young ladies that are looking for a husband, to look for a man who's willing to look deep and dig deep into God to find you. If you are looking for a man who's seeking to find through God what God has for him, then you will find the kind of husband that you need. One that will love you and care for you your whole life, no matter what. It's that thing of digging deep into God. It's that thing of looking in an ever-increasing way how to find what God wants for you. Trying to peel back those layers, those layers of onions, so to speak, to find out who God really knows who you are, how He created you, what's down to the core. You know, that reflecting on being the likeness of Jesus is not something that happens overnight. Next slide. It doesn't come in an instant. It's not instant gratification that with a snap of the fingers that God is going to change you into the perfect reflection of Jesus. No, it's a process. And it is a process that must be ever increasing. You make a step on the road to recovery, so to speak, from your past life into the life that God has called you to. And as you make that step onto that road, you've got to take another step and another step and another step. And finally, you might get enough legs underneath of you, enough strength in your legs, that you're actually able to do more than just barely take a step feebly, but rather that you can walk fast, or that you could even run. Like in the race that Paul says, he says, I have run the race, and I have finished it. Keep your eyes fixed on the prize at the end of the race. Don't look back. Don't look to the side. Keep your eyes focused on the goal that you're looking for, which is to become the likeness of wrinkled, but one that is clean and white. Well, you look at yourself and go, yeah, but I had a dirty face and I got these stained clothes and I'll never make it. And Jesus says, oh, yes, you will. If you will give to me your life, your heart, your mind, everything within you, your behaviors, your attitudes, your beliefs, and your values, if you give those to me and let me show you what I created it, each one of those layers to be, you will find that you have become the reflection of who I am, and you will be clean, white, and pure. Sometimes it's a matter of focus. But we have reflected, so now let's take a look at, are we really focused? Next slide. You know, you can look in a mirror and you can see it. And I can look in the mirror in the morning and I can take a look at myself. But if I'm not wearing my glasses, I can't see what I look like very well because I don't have the ability to focus at close range very well. And especially, I can't see things in the distance. In fact, I've taken my glasses off, and most of you, I know who you are and what the shape of your heads and your faces and your hair is like, so I know who you are. But let me tell you, your faces are completely out of focus. But if I put my glasses on, you come into focus. I need help to see. So the question is, are we really focused on what we're reflecting on? Do we have a focus to really see clearly? In 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now look at this next picture. Is it really clear and sharp? But you can kind of make out who you kind of think this is, can't you? But you can't really see clearly because it's really out of focus. You think it might be a person that you know, but you're really not quite sure of all the details, are you? Well, to continue on in 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Goodness, isn't this what God is telling you, that you are not who you think you are? You think you are what you do. You place your values on the things that you do and the way you respond to people. But really, that's not who you are. I know who you are. And you're only seeing a part of it. You're seeing things out of focus. I want to refocus for you. I'm able to focus your eyes, your heart, your mind, your spirit back to seeing clearly. So that moment in the next slide of refocusing is more than just changing behavior or reprioritizing. It needs something else. It means that you need to realize who you are. It's not just reflecting, and it's not being out of focus. You need to realize who you really are, who God created you to be. And so at this point, it's that moment when we realize I've reflected on what I've done and how I've acted. I have taken that moment to realize I'm out of focus. But now is my time to regroup and redirect, as in the next slide. Once I realize who I am, and I realize that I'm not reflecting who I really am, because of all these beliefs and behaviors and attitudes I have that don't really reflect who God created me to be, I'm doing these things that are outside of that. That is the reason why I'm out of focus and that I need to redirect what I'm doing. Next slide. I'm out of balance. And because I'm out of balance with who I really because of my inability to focus, I need to find a way of bringing it back into balance. But the problem is, I can't touch the balances. I can't do this. So I need to redirect what I've been doing. My belief says I've done things this way all my life. And why do I do them that way? Well, it's because I've always done it that way. But the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again, expecting a different result each time. And that doesn't occur. The only way that change can happen is if you break the cycle of doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. The only way you're going to get change, a different result, is by breaking that cycle and doing something different. And so this is the moment when we redirect. Next slide. The first thing is we need to see clearly. You know, if I always wonder, when I was a kid, I had a really great time in school. I couldn't see anything. That doesn't really work when you put math problems on a board, does it? And so because of my eyes not being able to focus, and I was sitting in way back in the back corner of the room, because they put you in alphabetical order, and if you're a W, well, that's all the way at the end in the back corner of the class. You don't see things in the distance. You can't see them. You get wrong answers. And you begin to think, you're nothing but stupid. You're an idiot. You're ignorant. You have no value. You have no worth. Because you can't perform what's expected. You should know how to do this. We've taught you this. Why can't you do it? You're just not trying hard enough. It's like, I'm trying. I'm trying. It's what it looks like to me. It wasn't until I was halfway, almost to the end of my seventh grade year, that a teacher finally said, you know what? I think you need to have an eye exam. And my parents took me to the eye doctor, and I got a pair of glasses, and I looked out, and I was astounded. I could see not blobs of green, but leaves on trees. I could see the blackboard at school, know what the numbers were and not make a mistake. I could see people, colors, and details that I had never seen before when I looked up. I no longer had to hang my head and look down at things that were very close to me because that's all I could see. I could now look and hold my head up and see. I was created to see all of God's glory. It was an amazing thing for me. And just, I can't describe to you the emotion of being able to see clearly. But if I never had sought to see clearly, if my parents had never said, we need to take you to the eye doctor, because the teacher said he thinks this is what you need. If they ignored that advice, I may still be seeing everything fuzzy, struggling to focus, getting tired eyes, all of those things that go with it, because I wouldn't have sought to see clearly, because I didn't know. I couldn't see. I couldn't see clearly. But once I knew that what it took to see clearly, if my eyes change during the year and things get a little fuzzy, I realize, you know what, I've got to go back and see the eye doctor and see if I need to have the prescription changed on my eyeglasses so that I can see sharp and clearly again. And it's that thing of, I need to seek it. I need to want it. I need to desire that thing of seeing something clearly. And the thing of seeing what God sees in me is probably the hardest thing for me to do, because I've never seen myself clearly the way God sees me. That's a hard one. But it is possible. can only see my worth and my value and who I really am through his eyes. I can't see it through mine because mine fail me. They stay out of focus. And so that it becomes a process I need to follow. But it must be something that is increasing. I can't just let, well, I can see up to 2040, and that's good enough. No, I need to keep going back until I can get to 2030. And it's still not good enough. I still need to see a little more sharpness, a little more clarity. I need to see 2025. I need to go back again to the master who created the eye to see inside. To see 2020. To see that clear, crisp, sharp image of who I am. So I must keep at it. I must not stop. I must not become discouraged. I must have tenacity. I must keep pushing forward to find out, to see what God sees in me. How do we do that? I can't do it myself. I need him. So therefore, as in the next slide, it says that we are transformed. We transform by grace. I cannot make it on my own. I can't do it. The only way that I can find that transformation is by his grace. That is the thing that clarifies my sight to see who I am. His grace. His grace allows me to see through his eyes. Otherwise, I'm blind. I'm not able to do it. But if I don't understand grace, I won't seek grace. And if I don't seek grace, I will never be transformed by that grace. And if I'm not transformed by that grace, I will never see the worth and value that God has created to be. Understanding grace. It's unmerited. I didn't do anything deserving. It's nothing I can pay for. He paid for it. He gives it not because of something I've said or done, but because he loves me in spite of who I am. In spite of what I believe, in spite of how I respond, and in spite of all of my behaviors, he gives it because he loves me. As we continue to reflect and refocus, we must understand that when we cover our sin, or we deflect it, or we shirk our shortcomings and our messes, by not wanting to face them, we realize that we suddenly must become, as in the next slide, responsible for our own justification, our own sanctification, and our own salvation, all of which are impossible for us to do. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot cleanse ourselves, and we cannot become justified by anything that we do, say, think, or believe, except one thing, Jesus and his cleansing blood. His atonement is what I need. I cannot see through the darkness if I don't turn my eyes towards where the light is. Next slide. Only Jesus is our justification. Only Jesus is where we can find sanctification. And only Jesus is our salvation. So in the next slide, going back to our little onion, the things I do and how I respond to what I believe and who I am. The things that I do, I must live in Him and for Him. And how I respond, I should be led by the Holy Spirit. And what I believe is that Jesus gives me all I need. And in this way, I will know and can clearly see who I am, a child of God. So how do I make this? How do I get here? Well, I think as in the next slide, it's where we cry out to Jesus, our only hope, our only salvation, the only place we can find sanctification and justification for who we are. In Psalm 107, verses 28 through 30, it says, "Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time." Next slide. So thank God for His marvelous love, for His miracle mercy to the children He loves. Isn't that what it's all about, grace? Thanking God for His marvelous love and that miracle of mercy to me, His child that He loves. So what we need, as in this next slide, it says we need a place. We need to reconnect when we get to that place so that we can understand grace. Then we can reflect Him and we can refocus on Him. How do I find that place? You know, in this next picture of the onion, I thought this was a really great one. It shows an onion with all its little circle rings, but in the center it shows a heart. That's where love is. We always think about our heart and the center of our being as being a place of love. But do you know that the heart of God is His love? He is love. And that at the center of His heart, that's where we reside, who we are, His children in the center of His love. So what's next? Next slide. First thing is, relax. Take a deep breath and pray. This is a time for you to rest, relax. Take a deep breath. And understand, I'm not in trouble. God loves me. He wants to help me to see who I really am. He wants me to understand how to make the changes to be a complete reflection of what He created me to be. And the way I